and that was in response to a question about Deshaun Watson's confidence and how do you handle it, whether it's the players or coaches, if it is confidence that is the issue. We do have Todd Blackledge. He's going to be on the call for Ohio State, Oregon on NBC and Peacock coming up in about 15 minutes here. Actually, about 20 minutes here. But I do think, like, you know, Jonathan Allen, that's weird. When like, I understand when somebody's like, hey, I've added a hyphen to my last name because now I want to be Maurice Jones-Drew because I'm honoring somebody.
Sure.
Makes sense. I was Jonathan Allen at Bama and in the pros, and now I'm John. I always worry about that.
I wasn't the pro, but this is the exact comp that I have right here. In college, I went by John, and then I went back to Jonathan when I became, I'm gonna say a pro, an actual broadcaster.
So, but with respect, like, that's...
John was cooler.
Well, okay, but that's a college thing to go there, and then when it... But, like... pros.
I'll have college friends of mine, and they'll say John still. But like when we talk, they'll be like John, and I'm like, I get it. You called me John at that point in my life. I'm John to you forever.
But this is the thing. He's only become John in the last year. That's where it freaks me out a little bit. He's like a grown man.
What's weird? Did he all of a sudden think it was going to be cool? Like, is that what happened?
Or
Jonathan to John is it's a hard transition.
I do wonder, was he always John and he just didn't have the courage to say it?
Sometimes that does happen, as you know.
Live your best life, King, is what I say. But Jonathan Allen was on the Junkies in D.C.
And then you call him Jonathan.
And then it called him Jonathan.
Because the media will do whatever they want anyway.
No. This is Frankie Francisco Lindor all over
thing.
Again.
Exactly
just
right.
Just mad. Disrespect. Mm-hmm. But you know, he had said that when he was watching Deshaun in that game, he felt like it's above the head. And I'll be honest with you, that's the only thing that supports benching Deshaun to me. If you think that he is so pressurized and he is so in his own dome that the only way to give him distance is to sit him, that makes sense, but that's a 1 or 2 week ordeal, depending on if Jameis and the team has success.
How are you playing psychiatrist when you're on the field playing against him? I could buy into the idea that you think he's seeing ghosts, maybe. Is that what we're going to go with? Because I can buy into that. You're like, I don't know. There was pressure that was there, but then he was reacting to pressure that wasn't there.
You can tell.
I can buy into that, but how do you say he's emotionally like cooked in that moment?
If I can see it in the game... instances where it's obvious he's not confident. And again, there were instances in the Raiders game where he was confident. You saw his eyes downfield. So this isn't as if it's like in a vacuum. It's like he's just has no confidence at all. But it does teeter. You can tell he is not even within the Raiders game. There were moments where, whether it was his shoulder, whether it was the protection, whether it was his own playmaking ability, there were moments where he wasn't confident.
There's proof in the pudding in that, obviously. I guess I looked too deep into the emotional side of things, as if he was like getting in his headspace. Like, how do you? Because for weeks I made the case that he went through a 4-day stretch where he lost his father, lost his teammate, then had the worst game he's ever played against the Cowboys, and then had a new allegation pop up where I'm like, he's got to be emotionally cooked. And so maybe I read a little bit too much into that side of things with him. If he's saying confidence, if he meant to say confidence is shot, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think they're interchangeable, right?
Do you? Emotionally
cooked versus confidence. I mean, we're talking about mental health. I mean, I think they're very, very close. And I'll be honest with you.
Maybe I wish you would have just said confident. Like, I don't know. His confidence was shot.
Like, I think this gets back to, this is where, you know, we asked Ron about the overall idea. And like Deshaun today, for what it's worth, said, I don't pay attention to social media. I still don't buy that, by the way. I don't pay attention to outside noise.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
And mostly because I just don't think it's possible if you're a head coach. Or sorry, if you're a quarterback. Like, if you're this quarterback. I think if you're Brock Purdy and you've had a bunch of really good seasons in a row and your team's won a lot, you're 2-3 right now, trying to get to 3-3 with this Seattle matchup, but I can see how you might go. I don't hear anything. Like, we're fine. We're just struggling right now.
Did you ever believe when LeBron went 0-23?
No, of course not.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody did, right?
It was just something that got us pumped up because it sounded cool and it was a cool idea.
It was
idea.
A flip the switch type thing. Yeah, like, all right, good, you did it.
Yeah, no, but it's even more so when you're going through crisis. And Deshaun has been stuck in crisis for 2+ years now.
So if you believe that it was, whether we call it emotionally cooked or whether we call it a lack of confidence, whatever that is, if he got the confidence back in him, if he emotionally above the shoulders was right, Does that mean there is life left with Deshaun Watson and reason why the Browns would explore maybe throwing him out there for a few more weeks and seeing if maybe that light bulb goes on? Maybe the confidence does go and we actually do have something there and something to get excited about.
Yeah, because a win with Deshaun carries more water than a win with Jameis. A win with Jameis, and again, any win is good right now. You just need a freaking win. But a win with Jameis is a palate cleanser. And I've made the Andy Dalton and Carolina comparison. But even if you play good for one game, who's to say that those bad habits aren't going to crack back in?
Right.
Whereas if Deshaun is part of the reason that you win, let's say Philadelphia on Sunday, I do think that carries more weight.
But do you see how I think when people first heard that that comment, they thought to themselves like, oh no, we're screwed. Deshaun doesn't have it mentally. Deshaun is done. It's everything I think I'm seeing, and he's just confirming it. When in reality, this should be kind of what you're looking for. If you want to spin this season around, then that gives you hope that there's something left with Deshaun still, if he can get his confidence right and then can be the quarterback that you thought he would be. Because that's what that tells me right there.
I just think we're at the point where 99% of people, I think the Stefanski conversation yesterday proves all of this is confirmation bias. This is a Rorschach test where 99% of people have made up their mind on Deshaun. So when you lose, it doesn't matter what the truth is. The Raiders' losses and the Commanders' losses are very different losses in how they played out, even though there are similarities in the lack of discipline, stupid high school-type penalties, of which Deshaun did make some of those in the Raiders game and made almost all of them in the Washington game. It doesn't matter. There is no nuance with Deshaun.
Which wasn't great, by the way, for getting his confidence back to then watching it just get lit up and burned on fire.
Yeah, and it's funny, man, going into the Washington game, I said this presents you with an opportunity to gain confidence, to build confidence.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, the Raiders game is that bedrock. You stack another stone on it, and all of a sudden you got a church to build on pretty quickly here. But I do think, one of my notes was, it's going to take more than two good games for Browns fans to circle the wagons around Deshaun. I think the problem is now I think it's going to take more than one good game to fix Deshaun.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel that way 5 weeks ago.
Just the Eagles game alone, if he comes out and has the 300-yard game we've all been waiting for and is awesome, I don't think that's going to be enough to just say he's fixed. I think you'll still need more with that. For sure you will.
And for himself,
too.
Yeah. No, I mean, whether it's confidence, whether it's – because I just think, like – I there's just so much – and it's not even just – because I think everybody just goes, well, it's awful football. There's actually some good football within the 17 first games of his career here. It's just it's not to the level. Because it's not to that level to such an extent, and he's got the shoulder thing, like, hey, Deshaun Watson says he's ashamed to hear about ditty parties. I guess Deshaun was at ditty parties. Like, I think every single thing that relates to this guy ties back to, you think that people are making all his struggles up, or you think he's cooked and it's over? The Browns cannot think that way. And I think that's what's so fascinating about the are you going to bench Deshaun conversation. Because I don't care if Kevin Stefanski wants to bench him. It's your job. I don't care if AVP was firing was forced on him.
Yeah.
Grow up. You're a millionaire.
The bet the Browns are making, though, is that Jonathan Allen, John Allen, whatever we want to call him, was right. That it is just mental. And he's got it. Once he clears that hurdle, light bulb will go on. You'll go back to seeing an older version of Deshaun that you want to see. I just don't know that we're going to get there, Nick. I think that might be a leap of faith. I don't know that we're going to get there.
I just think the problem is it's not just confidence. Like that, yes, do I think confidence ebbs and flows, and that's obvious when you watch him? No, it's the confidence with the shoulder, which then impacts the confidence, which also, by the way, is the pressure of the contract, which is the pressure of the trade, which is the pressure of you haven't played good enough football
it's
in Cleveland.
It's a perfect storm of bad.
It is this kind of never-ending Ouroboros that just continues, the snake eating its own tail, just constantly. And at some point, you just have to get the snake to move in a direction when they're not eating their own damn tail.
Good luck.
And that's just, I don't know the answer there. I just know the answer for this year. I'm not talking about long term, because once we get into next year, we start talking differently. But for this year, I know that benching him only makes the Browns more likable. I don't know what magically makes them more winnable. I don't know what gets you any closer to helping Deshaun be the guy he needs to be. Todd Blackledge, he's going to be on the call, Ohio State, Oregon this weekend on NBC and Peacock. He's next on 92.3 The Fan.